Anything else? There's nothing to say at the moment. He's sleepy, and I don't want to talk about me leaving him any longer. Within minutes, he's asleep, breathing heavily. Hardin calling me Daisy this morning made me want to reread The Great Gatsby, so I scroll through my e-reader's library to see if Hardin already loaded it on there, and find that, of course, he has. Just as I'm about to get up and join his mother, I hear a woman's angry voice.
"Excuse me."
My mother. I toss my e-reader to the end of the bed and get up. Why the hell is she here?
"You have no right to go in there," I hear Trish yell.
Trish, my mother, Hardin, this apartment. Oh, my Lord, this isn't going to go well. The bedroom door crashes open to reveal my mother, looking sophisticated yet menacing in a red dress and black heels. Her hair is curled and pinned up to resemble a beehive, and her red lipstick is bright, too bright.
"How could you be here? After everything," she yells.
"Mother," I begin as she turns to Trish.
"And who the hell are you?"
she asks, their faces close together.
"I'm his mother," Trish says sternly.
Hardin groans in his slumber and opens his eyes.
"What the fuck?"
are the first words out of his mouth when he spots the devil in the crimson dress. My mother snaps her head back in my direction.
"Let's go, Teresa."
"I'm not going anywhere. Why are you even here?" I ask her, and she huffs, putting her hands on her hips.
"Because I have already told you. You are my only child, and I will not sit back and watch you ruin your life over this asshole."
Her words light a fire under my skin, and I immediately go on defense.
"Do not speak of him that way," I shout. "That asshole is my son, Missy," Trish says with hooded eyes.
Underneath her humor is a woman clearly ready to go into the ring for her son.
"Well, your son is ruining and corrupting my daughter," my mother fires back. "Both of you, get out,"
Hardin says, and stands up from the bed. My mother shakes her head and gives a toothy smile.
"Teresa, grab your things. Now."
Being ordered about makes me snap. What part of "I am not leaving" do you not understand? I gave you the opportunity to spend the holidays with me, but you couldn't get over yourself long enough to allow it. I know I shouldn't be speaking to her this way, but I can't help it.
"Get over myself? You think just because you bought a few slutty dresses and learned to put on makeup, you suddenly know more than I do about life?"
Although she's yelling, it's like she's laughing too, like my choices are a joke.
"Well, you're wrong. Just because you gave yourself to this filth doesn't mean you're a woman. You are nothing but a little girl, a naive, impressionable little girl. Now grab your things before I do it for you." "You will not touch her things,"
Hardin spits.
"She isn't going anywhere with you. She's staying here with me, where she belongs."
My mother wheels toward him, all humor gone.
"Where she belongs? Where did she belong when she was staying in a damned motel because of what you did to her? You are no good for her, and she will not stay here with you."
"Mrs. White, these two are adults," Trish interjects. "Tessa is an adult. If she wants to stay, there is nothing..." My mother's enraged eyes turn to meet Trish's equally hardened glare. This is a disaster. I open my mouth to speak, but my mother beats me to it.
"How can you defend this sinful behavior? After what he did to her, he should be locked away," she screams.
"She has obviously chosen to forgive him. You need to accept that," Trish says coolly. Too coolly. She looks like a snake, one that slithers by so slowly you never see its attack coming. But when it does, you are done for. My mother is the prey, and right now I can't help but hope that Trish's bite is venomous.
"Forgive him? He stole her innocence as a game, a bet with his friends, and then bragged about it while she was here playing house."
Trish's gasp overrides all sound in the air and silences everything for a second. Mouth agape, she looks at her son.
"What? Oh, you didn't know. You mean, surprise, the liar lied even to his own mother? Poor woman. No wonder you're defending him,"
my mother says, shaking her head.
"Your son bet his friends, for money, that he could take Tessa's virginity. He even kept the evidence and flaunted it around the entire campus."
I'm frozen. I keep my eyes on our mothers, too afraid to look at Hardin. I can tell by the shift in his breathing that he hadn't thought I'd told my mother the details of his deceit. As for his mother, I didn't want her to know the terrible things her son has done. It was my embarrassment to share or not share with people.
Evidence?
Trish's voice is shaky.
Yes, evidence. The condom. Oh, and the sheets with Tessa's stolen virginity on them. God knows what he did with the money, but he was telling everyone every detail of their intimacy. So now you tell me if I should make my daughter come with me or not.
My mother raises her perfectly sculpted eyebrow to Trish. I feel it the moment it happens. I feel the change in the room, the energy shifting. Trish is now on my mother's side of this. I try desperately to cling to the edge of the crumbling cliff that is Hardin, but I can see it all perfectly in the disgusted glare she gives her son. A look I can tell is nothing new. It's something she's had to use on him before, like a memory brought back as a facial expression. A look that all but says she believes, once again, every bad thing anyone's ever said about her son.
"How could you, Hardin?" she cries. "I'd hoped you were different now. I hoped you'd stopped doing things like this to girls. Women. Have you forgotten what happened last time?"
Chapter 38. Tessa. It doesn't help. It doesn't help at all that my mother follows Trish into the living room and practically howls, "Last time? See, Teresa, this is exactly why you need to get away from him. He has done this before. I knew it. Prince Charming strikes again." I look over at Hardin, my finger slipping from the edge. Not again. I don't think I can take any more. Not from him.
"It's not like that, Mum,"
Hardin finally says. Trish gives him a look of utter disbelief and wipes under her eyes, even as her tears keep coming.
"It sure sounds like it, Hardin. I honestly can't believe you. I love you, son, but I can't help you here. This is wrong. So wrong."
I never am able to find my voice in these situations. I want to speak. I need to. But an endless list of potential terrible things that Trish could be referring to as last time are running rapidly through my head, stealing my voice.
"I said it's not like that,"
Hardin shouts, his arms out wide. Trish turns and stares at me, hard.
"Tessa, you should go with your mother," she says, and a lump rises in my throat.
"What?"
Hardin says to her.
"You're no good for her, Hardin. I love you more than life itself, but I can't allow you to do this again. Coming to America was supposed to have helped you."
"Teresa,"
my mother says,
"I think we have heard enough."
She grabs hold of my arm.
"It's time to go."
Hardin moves toward her and she steps back, gripping me tighter.
"Let go of her now,"
he says through gritted teeth. Her plum nails dig into my skin as I try to process the events of the last 2 minutes. I had not expected my mother to barge into the apartment, and I certainly didn't expect Trish to drop hints about yet another one of Hardin's secrets. Has he done this before? To who? Did he love her? Did she love him? He said he had never been with a virgin before. He said he had never loved anyone before. Was he lying? The angry mask he wears makes it hard for me to decipher.
"You don't get to have a say in anything that concerns her any longer,"
my mother strikes back. But surprising everyone in the room, even myself, I slowly pull my arm from my mother's grip and step behind Hardin. Hardin's mouth falls open like he's unsure what I'm doing. Trish and my mother wear identical, horrified expressions.
"Teresa, don't be stupid. Get over here,"
my mother instructs. In response, I wrap my fingers around Hardin's forearm and stay hidden behind him. I don't really understand why, but I do. I should be leaving with my mother, or forcing Hardin to tell me what the hell Trish is talking about. But really, I just want my mother to go away. I need a few minutes, hours, some time to comprehend what's going on. I just forgave Hardin. I just decided to forget everything and move on with him. Why must there always be some secret locked away that comes to a head at the worst possible time?
"Teresa,"
My mother takes another step toward me, and Hardin brings his arm back to wrap around me, to protect me from her.
Stay away from her,
he warns. Trish steps forward. Hardin, that is her daughter. You have no right coming between them.
I have no right? She has no right coming into our apartment, into our fucking bedroom, uninvited,
he shouts. My grip on his arm tightens. That's not her bedroom, nor is this her apartment, my mother says.
Yes, it is. See who she's standing behind? She's using me as a shield to block her from you.
Hardin points a thick finger at her. She's just being foolish and doesn't understand what's best for her. But I interrupt her, finally finding part of my voice. Stop speaking as if I'm not here. I'm right here, and I'm an adult, Mother. If I want to stay, I will, I announce. With pitying eyes, Trish tries to appeal to me. Tessa, honey, I think you should listen to your mother. The sting of her dismissal burns my chest like a betrayal, but I don't know what she knows about her son.
Thank you, my mother sighs. At least someone in this family is reasonable.
Trish shoots her a warning glare.
Missy, I don't agree with how you treat your daughter, so don't think that we're on the same team here, because we're not.
My mother shrugs a little. Regardless, we both agree that you need to go, Tessa. You need to leave this apartment and not come back. We can transfer you to another school if need be.
She can make up her own,
Hardin starts. He has poisoned your mind, Teresa. Look at the things he's done to you. Do you know him at all? My mother asks. I know him, Mother, I say through my teeth. My mother turns her attention to Hardin. I don't know why she's not afraid of him, the way his chest is heaving up and down, the way his cheeks are flaring with anger, the way his fists are clenched into balls so tightly that his knuckles are white. He should intimidate her, but she's unfazed as she says,
Boy, if you care for her even a little bit, you will tell her to go. You have done nothing but break her down. She isn't the same girl that I dropped off at college 3 months ago, and that's your fault. You didn't have to see her cry for days over what you did to her. You were probably partying with another girl while she was crying herself to sleep. You have destroyed her. How can you even live with yourself? You know you'll hurt her again sooner or later, so if you have one decent bone in your body, you'll tell her. Tell her to come with me.
The silence in the room is chilling. Trish stands silently staring at the wall, deep in thought, likely mulling over Hardin's past actions. My mother is glaring at Hardin, waiting for his response. Hardin is breathing so hard he may combust. And me? I'm trying to decide which will win the battle inside of me, my heart or my head. I'm not going with you, I finally say. In response to my decision, my adult decision, one that I know will have consequences I will have to deal with, that will make me endure some very difficult things as I try to figure out whether I can be with the man I love or not, my mother rolls her eyes, and I lose it. You aren't welcome here. Don't ever come back, I scream with a bloody rawness in my throat. Who do you think you are busting in here and with the nerve to talk to him that way? I push past Hardin and come face to face with her. I want nothing to do with you. No one does. That's why you're all alone after all these years. You are cruel and conceited. You will never be happy. I take a breath and swallow, feeling just how dry my throat is. My mother stares me down with full self-assurance and more than a little scorn. I am alone because I choose to be. I don't have the need to be with someone. I'm not like you. Like me? I don't need to be with anyone. You basically forced me to be with Noah. I never felt like I had a choice in anything. You have always controlled me, and I am done. I am fucking done. The tears erupt from me then. My mother quirks her lips like she's considering something in earnest, but her voice is full of sarcasm.
It's obvious that you have some codependency issues. Is this because of your father?
My eyes soar, surely bloodshot and filled with every evil I want to inflict on her. I stare at her. Speaking slowly at first, I feel myself frantically escalating as I say, I hate you.
I really hate you. You're the reason he left, because he couldn't stand you, and I don't blame him. In fact, I wish he would have taken...
And right then, I feel Hardin's hand clamp over my mouth, and his strong arms pull me back against his chest.
Chapter 39. Hardin. The whole time, I had just been thinking that her mum better not slap her again. I hadn't really considered Tessa going on the offensive like this. Her face is red, and her tears are pouring down my hand. Why does her mum always have to ruin shit? I can't blame her for being angry, regardless of how much I hate her. I did hurt Tessa, but I don't think I ruined her. Have I? I don't know what to do. I glance at my mum for help. The look she gives me lets me know that she hates me. I didn't want her to know what I did to Tess. I knew it would kill her, especially after what happened before. But I'm not the same person I was then. This is totally different. I love Tessa. Through all the chaos I caused, I found love. Tessa screams into my hand and tries to push me off of her, but she isn't strong enough. I know one of two things will happen if I don't keep her away. Either her mum will slap her and I'll have to intervene, or Tessa will say something she'll regret forever. I think you need to go now, I say to her mother. Tessa is throwing a fit beneath my grip and keeps kicking her feet into my shins. It's always so unsettling to see her angry, especially this angry, although part of me is selfishly pleased that her anger isn't directed at me this time. It will be soon. I know her mother is right about me. I am terrible for her. I'm not the man Tessa thinks I am, but I love her too much to let her leave me again. I just got her back, and I will not lose her again. I just hope that she'll listen to me, listen to the entire story. Even then, I don't think it will matter. I know it's coming. There's no way she'll stay with me once she hears it. Fuck! Why did my mum have to say anything? I lead Tessa toward the bedroom. As we go, she twists so hard she spins us both around, so we're facing her mum again. With one last hateful glare, she makes her point and lunges, but I hold tight. Pulling her into our room, I let go and quickly slam the door and lock it, and she turns her poisonous glare at me.
Why did you do that? You...
Because you're saying things you know you'll regret.
Why did you do that?
She yells.
Why did you stop me? I have so much shit to say to that bitch. It's not even... I can't even...
She pushes her hands against my chest. Hey, calm down, I say, trying to remember that she's displacing her anger at her mother toward me. I know she is. I bring her face between my hands and gently move my thumbs across her cheekbones, making sure she keeps eye contact with me as her breathing slows. Just calm down, baby, I repeat. The redness disappears from her cheeks and she nods slowly. I'm going to make sure she leaves, okay? I say so low that it's almost a whisper. She nods again and moves to sit on the bed.
Hurry up!
She demands as I leave the room. When I walk into the living room, Tessa's mother is there alone, pacing. She looks up at me sharply, like a jungle cat sensing prey.
Where is she?
She asks. She's not coming out. You are leaving, and you're not going to come back here. I mean it, I say through my teeth. She raises an eyebrow.
Are you threatening me?
You can take it however you want, but you need to stay away from her. The manicured woman, so put together and prim-looking, gives me a sly, hard look that I've only ever seen from people like those in Jace's crew.
This is all your fault, she says calmly. You have brainwashed her. She doesn't think for herself anymore. I know what you are doing. I've been with men like you. I knew you were troubled since the day I laid eyes on you. I should have had Tessa change rooms and prevented all of this. No man is going to want her after this. After you. Look at you. She waves her hand in the air and turns toward the door. I follow her out into the hallway. That's the point, isn't it? That no man will want her. No man but me. She'll never be with anyone but me, I boast. She will always choose me over you, over anyone. She spins and takes a step toward me. You are the devil, and I'm not going to just go away. She is my daughter, and she's too good for you. I nod my head several times quickly, then look at her flatly. I'll make sure to remember that when I'm burying myself into your daughter tonight. As the words leave my lips, she gasps and reaches her hand up to smack me. I grab her wrist and push it back down gently. I would never hurt her or any woman, but neither am I going to let her hurt me. I give her my best smile before I go back into the apartment and slam the door in her face. Chapter 40. Harden. I rest my head against the door for a moment, and when I turn around, my mum is standing in the living room, staring at me with a mug of coffee in her hands, her eyes completely bloodshot. Where were you? I ask. The bathroom, she says, her voice cracking. How could you tell Tessa to go? To leave me? I say. I knew she would be disappointed, but that was too much. Because, Harden, she sighs, lifting her hands as if it's obvious. You aren't good for her. You know you aren't. I don't want to see her end up like Natalie or the others. My mum shakes her head. Do you know what will happen to me if she leaves me, Mum? I don't think you understand. I cannot be without her. I know I'm not good for her, and I regret what I did every single time I look at her. But I can be good for her. I know I can be. I walk to the middle of the living room and start pacing back and forth. Harden, are you sure you aren't just feeding into your own game right now? No, Mum. I lower my head to try and keep calm. This isn't a game to me. Not this time. I love her. I really love her. I look up at my good, kind mother, who I know has had to endure so much. I love her more than I can even begin to tell you, because I don't even understand it myself. I never thought I could or would feel this way. All I know is that she's my only shot at happiness. If she leaves me, I'll never recover. I won't, Mum. She's the only chance I have to not be alone for the rest of my life. I don't know what the fuck I did to deserve her. Nothing, I know. But she loves me. Do you know how that feels to have someone love you despite all the fucked up shit you do? She's way too good for me, and she loves me. I have no fucking clue why. My mum wipes at her eyes with the back of her hand, making me pause for a moment. It's hard to go on, but I say, she's always there for me, Mum. She always forgives me, even when she shouldn't. She always says the right thing. She calms me, but challenges me. She makes me want to be a better man. I know I'm a shitty person. I know that. I have done so much shit. But Tessa can't leave me. I don't want to be alone anymore, and I'll never love anyone again. She is it for me. I know it. She's my ultimate sin, Mum, and I'll gladly be damned for her. I'm out of breath by the time I finish, and my mum's cheeks are wet. But she's also staring behind me. I turn to find Tessa with her hands at her sides, her eyes wide and her cheeks just as wet as my mum's. My mum blows her nose, then softly says, I'm going to go out for a little while, give you two some privacy. She goes over to the door, grabs her shoes and coat, and heads out. I feel kind of bad that there aren't many places for her to go on Christmas Eve, especially in the snow. But I need to be alone with Tessa right now. As soon as my mum is out of the door, I pad across the room to her.
What you said just now, you meant it?
She asks through her tears. You know I did, I tell her. Corners of her lips turn up, and she reaches across the small space between us to put her hand on my chest.
I need to know what you did.
I know. Just promise me that you'll try to understand.
Tell me, Harden.
And that you understand that I'm not proud of any of this. She nods, and I take a deep breath as she leads us to the couch. I really don't know where the fuck to start.
Chapter 41. Tessa. Harden's face pales. He rubs his hands over his knees. He runs his fingers through his hair. He looks up at the ceiling and then back down. He, somewhere deep inside, probably wishes these things would stall this conversation forever. But finally, he begins.
I had a group of shitty friends back home. They were like Jace, I guess. We would do this thing, this game, I guess. We would pick a girl for one another and see who could fuck their girl first.
My stomach drops.
Whoever won would get the hottest chick the next week, and there was money involved.
How many weeks? I ask regretfully. I don't want to know, yet I have to know.
Only 5 weeks went by before this girl.
Natalie, I say, connecting the dots. Harden looks over at the windows.
Yeah. Natalie was the last one.
And what did you do to her? I am terrified of his answer.
The third week, James thought Martin was lying, so he came up with the idea of proof.
Proof. That word will always haunt me. The blood-stained sheets pop into my mind and my chest starts to hurt.
Not the same type of proof.
He knows what I was thinking.
Pictures.
My jaw drops. Pictures?
And a video,
he admits and covers his face with his large hands. Video? You recorded sex with someone? Did she know? I ask. But I know the answer even before he shakes his head. How could you? How could you do that to someone? I begin to cry. The realization that I don't know Harden at all hits me, and I have to swallow the bile rising in my throat. I scoot away from him instinctively, and I see pain flare up in his eyes.
I don't know. I just didn't care. It was fun to me. Well, not exactly fun, but I didn't care.
His honesty slices through me, and for once I long for the days when he kept everything from me. So what happened with Natalie? My voice is coarse as I wipe the tears from my eyes.
When James saw the video of her, he wanted to fuck her himself. And when she turned him down, he showed everyone the video.
Oh my God. That poor girl. I feel so terrible for what they did to her. What Harden did to her.
The video spread so quickly that her parents found out before even a day had passed. Her family was really big in their church community, so the news didn't go well. They kicked her out of their house, and when word got around, she lost her scholarship to the private university she was going to that fall.
You ruined her, I say quietly. Harden ruined this girl's life, the way he once threatened to ruin mine. Will I end up like her? Am I already just like her? I look at him. You said you'd never been with a virgin before.
She wasn't a virgin. She'd slept with one guy already. But that's why my mum sent me here. Everyone back home knew about it. I wasn't in the video. Well, I was fucking her in it, but I wasn't visible. Only a few of the tattoos on my arms were.
He grinds one fist into the palm of his other hand.
That's sort of what I'm known for there now.
My head is spinning. What did she say when she found out what you did?
She said she fell in love with me, and she asked if she could stay at my house until she found somewhere else to go.
Did you let her? He shakes his head. Why?
Because I didn't want to. I didn't care for her.
How can you be so cold about this? Do you not understand what you did to her? You led her on. You had sex with her and you taped it. You showed your friends and basically the school, and she lost her scholarship and family because of you. Then you don't even have the compassion to help her when she had nowhere else to go? I shout and stand up.
Where is she now? What happened to her?
I don't know. I didn't care to find out.
The most chilling part of this whole thing is how casual and cold he is about it. This is nauseating. I see the pattern here. I see the similarities between Natalie and me. I was left with nowhere to go because of Harden, too. I have no relationship with my mother because of Harden. I fell for him while he was using me as part of some sick game. Harden stands up with me but keeps a few feet of space between us. Oh my God. My entire body begins to shake. You recorded me, didn't you?
No. Fuck no. I would never do that to you. Tessa, I swear to God I did not.
I shouldn't, but part of me does believe that part, at least. How many others? I ask.
How many others what?
Did you record?
Just Natalie. Until I came here.
You did it again? After everything you did to that poor girl, you did it again? I scream.
Once. To Dan's sister.
He says. Dan's sister. Your friend Dan? It makes sense now. That's what Jace meant when you were fighting. I had forgotten all about Dan and Harden's fight, but Jace had hinted about some previous tension between the two of them. Why did you do that if he was your friend? Did you show everyone?
No, I didn't show anyone. I deleted it after I sent Dan a screen grab. I don't know why I did it, really. He was such a dick about telling me to stay away from her when he brought her around the first time that it made me want to fuck her just to piss him off. He's a true asshole anyway, Tessa.
How do you not see how fucked up this is? How fucked up you are, I yell.
I know it is. I know that, Tessa.
I thought my bet was the worst thing you had done. But oh my God, this is even worse. Natalie's story doesn't hurt me nearly as bad as finding out about Harden and Zed's bet, but it's worse by being more vile and revolting, and it makes me question everything I thought I knew about Harden. I knew he wasn't perfect, far from it, but this is a whole new level of disgrace.
This was all before you, Tessa. This is my past. Please let it stay that way.
He pleads.
I'm not the same person now. You've made me a better person.
Harden, you don't even care about what you did to those girls. You don't even feel guilty, do you?
I do.
I cock my head and squint at him. Only because now I know? When he doesn't argue, I reiterate my point. You didn't care about them. About anyone.
You're right. I don't care. I honestly don't give a shit about anyone except you,
he shouts back. This is too much, Harden. Even for me. The bet, the apartment, the fights, the lies, getting back together, my mother, your mother, Christmas. It's too fucking much. I don't even get a breath between these messes. As soon as I get over one thing, another comes out. God knows what else you've done. I start crying. I don't know you at all, do I?
Yes, you do, Tessa. You do know me. That wasn't me. This is me. This is me now. I love you. I will do anything for you to see that this is me, the man who loves you more than breathing, the man who dances at weddings and watches you sleep, the man whose day can't start until you kiss me, the man who would rather die than be without you. That's me. That's who I am. Please don't let this ruin us. Please, baby.
His green eyes are glassy, and I'm moved by his words, but it isn't enough. He steps toward me, and I back away. I need to be able to think. I raise my hand in front of me. I need time. This is too much for me right now. His shoulders lower, and he seems relieved.
Okay. Okay. Take time to think.
Away from you, I explain.
No.
Yes, Harden. I can't think straight around you.
No, Tessa. You're not leaving,
he commands. You will not tell me what I will or will not do, I snap. He sighs and wraps his fingers in his hair, tugging hard at the roots.
Fine. Fine. Let me go, then. You stay here.
I want to argue, but I really don't want to leave. I've had enough of hotel rooms, and tomorrow is Christmas.
I'll be back in the morning, unless you need more time,
he says. He puts his shoes on and reaches for the key rack before realizing that his mother has taken his car. Take mine, I say. He nods and walks toward me. Don't, I say, and bring my hands up in front of me. And you're in your pajamas still. He frowns and looks down, but walks into the bedroom and emerges 2 minutes later fully dressed. He stops to look me in the eyes.
Please remember that I love you, and I have changed,
he says once more before leaving me alone in the apartment. Chapter 42. Tessa. What the hell am I going to do? I walk to the bedroom and sit on the edge of the bed. I'm sick to my stomach from all of this. I knew Harden wasn't a good person before, and I knew there would be some more things that I wouldn't be happy to hear. But of all the things I thought Trish could be referring to, this never, ever crossed my mind. He violated that girl in a terrible, deplorable way, and he had no remorse. He still barely does. I try to breathe in and out slowly as tears spill down my cheeks. The worst part to me is knowing her name. It's kind of fucked up, but if she was just some anonymous girl, I could almost pretend that she didn't exist. Knowing that her name is Natalie opens up too many thoughts. What does she look like? What did she plan to study in college before Harden took her scholarship from her? Does she have any brothers or sisters? Did they see the tape? If Trish hadn't brought this up, would I have ever known? How many times did they have sex? Did Harden like it? Of course he did. It's sex, and obviously Harden was having a lot of it. With other girls. Lots of other girls. Did he stay the night with Natalie after? Why do I feel jealous of Natalie? I should feel sorry for her, not envy her for touching Harden. I push the sick thought out of my mind and go back to thinking about the type of person Harden really is. I should have had him stay to talk it out. I always leave, or in this case, make him leave. The problem is that his presence washes away every ounce of restraint I should have. I wish I knew what happened to Natalie after Harden demolished her life. If she's happy now and leading a good life, I'd feel better, slightly. I wish I had a friend to talk about all of this with. Someone to give me advice. Even if I did, I wouldn't divulge Harden's indiscretion. I do not want anyone to know what he has done to these girls. I know how foolish it is to want to protect him when he doesn't deserve it, but I can't help it. I don't want anyone to think any worse of him, and mostly I don't want him to think any worse of himself than he already does. I lie back against the pillows and stare up at the ceiling. I just got over, well, was working on getting over, Harden using me to win a bet. And now this? Natalie plus four other girls since he said she was week five. Then Dan's sister. This is a cycle with him. This is what he does. Will he be able to stop doing it? What would have happened to me if he hadn't fallen in love with me? I know that he loves me. He truly loves me. I know that. And I do love him despite all the mistakes he makes and has made in the past. I've seen changes in him, even in the course of the last week. He has never expressed his feelings about me the way he did today. I just wish that his beautiful declaration hadn't been followed by such an ugly revelation. He said that I'm his only shot at happiness. I'm the only chance that he has to not spend the entirety of his life alone. What a heavy statement. What a true statement. No one will ever love him the way I do. Not because he's not worth loving, but because no one will ever know him the way that I do. Did. Still do? I can't decide, but I want to believe I know him, the true him. Who he is now is not the person he was just a few months ago. Despite the pain he's caused me, he has also done a lot to prove himself to me. He has made a huge effort to be the person I need him to be. He can change. I've seen him change. Half of me thinks that it may be time for me to take some of the blame here. Not for what he did to Natalie, but for being so hard on him when change takes time and nobody can erase their past. What he did was wrong. So incredibly wrong. But sometimes I forget that he's an angry, lonely man who up until now has never loved anyone. He loves his mother, in his manner, if not the same way that people usually love their parents. The other half of me is tired. Tired of this cycle with Harden. In the beginning of our relationship, it was a constant back and forth, with him being cruel, then nice, then cruel again. Now the cycle has evolved somewhat, but it's worse. Much worse. I leave him, then come back, then leave him again. I cannot keep doing this. We cannot keep doing this. If there's anything else that he's hiding, it will break me. I'm barely holding myself together now. I can't take any more secrets, any more heartache, any more breakups. I always used to have everything planned. Every detail of my life was calculated, overanalyzed, until Harden. He's completely turned my life upside down, often in a negative way, and yet he's also made me happier than I've ever been. We need to be together and try to move past all of the terrible things he's done, or I need to end things and keep them that way. If I leave him, I need to move away from here, far away. I need to leave behind every reminder of my life with him, or I'll never be able to move on. And suddenly I realize the tears have stopped, telling me that my verdict is in. The pain that comes from considering leaving him is much worse than the pain he has caused me. I can't leave him. I know I can't. I know how pathetic that is, but there's no way I can be without him. No one will ever make me feel the way he does. No one will ever be him. He is it for me, just the way I am it for him. I shouldn't have had him leave. I needed time to think, and I should take more time, but I'm already wanting him back. Is love always like this? Is it always so passionate, yet so damn painful? I have no experience to compare this to. Hearing the front door open, I climb off the bed and rush into the living room, but I'm disappointed to find Trish instead of Harden. Trish hangs Harden's keys on the rack and removes her snow-covered shoes. I'm not sure what to say to her since she told me to leave with my mother. "Where is Harden?" she asks as she walks into the kitchen. "He left. For the night," I explain. She turns to me. "Oh. I'm sure if you call him, he'll tell you where he is, if you don't want to stay here. With me." "Tessa," she says, clearly searching for words, but with sympathy on her face. "I'm sorry for what I said. I don't want you to think I have any ill feelings toward you. I don't. I was just trying to protect you from what Harden can do. I don't want you to end up like Natalie. I can see that the memory pains her." "He told you?" "Yes." "Everything?" I hear the doubt in her voice. "Yes. The tape, the pictures, the scholarship. Everything."
"And you're still here?"
"I told him I needed time and space, but yes. I'm not going anywhere." She nods, and we both sit down at the table across from each other. When she looks at me with wide eyes, I know what she's thinking, so I say, "I know he's done terrible things, deplorable things, but I believe him when he says that he's changed. He isn't that person anymore." Trish puts one hand over the other.
"Tessa, he's my son, and I love him, but you really have to think about this. He just did the same thing to you that he did before. I know that he loves you. That's clear to me now. But I'm just afraid that the damage has been done."
I nod, appreciative of her honesty, but I tell her, "It hasn't. Well, damage has most certainly been done, but it's not irreversible. And it's my decision to figure out how to deal with his past. And if I hold his past against him, how will he move forward? Is he never deserving of love forevermore? I know you probably think I'm naive and foolish to keep forgiving him, but I love your son, and I cannot be without him either." Trish softly clicks her tongue and shakes her head.
"Tessa, I don't think you're either of those things. If anything, your forgiveness shows maturity and compassion. My son hates himself, always has, and I thought he always would, until you. I was mortified when your mom told me what he did to you, and for that I'm sorry. I don't know where I went wrong with Harden. I tried to be the best mother that I could be, but it was so hard with his father not being around. I had to work so much, and I didn't give him the attention that I should have. If I had, maybe he would have more respect for women. I know that if she hadn't already cried herself out today, she'd be crying now. The guilt in her is so thick, I just want to comfort her. He's not this way because of you. I think it has a lot to do with his feelings about his father and the type of friends he has, both of which I'm trying to work on. Please don't blame yourself. None of this is your fault. Trish reaches across the table and I give her my hands. Taking them in hers, she says, "You are certainly the most kind-hearted person I've met in all of my 35 years. I arch my brow. 35? Hey, just go with it. I can pass, right?" she smiles. "Definitely," I laugh. 20 minutes ago I was just crying and on the verge of a breakdown, and now I'm laughing with Trish. The moment I decided to let Harden's past be his past, I felt most of the tension leave my body. "Maybe I should call him and tell him what I've decided," I say. Trish tilts her head to the side and smirks. "I think he could use a little time to stir." The idea of torturing him further isn't appealing, but he does need to really think about everything he's done. "I guess so. I think he needs to know that there are consequences for bad choices." She gets a twinkle in her eye. "How about I make us dinner, and then you can put Harden out of his misery?" I'm happy to have her humor and guidance to bring me out of my sad confusion over Harden's past. I'm willing to move beyond this, or at least try, but he needs to know this type of thing is not okay, and I need to know if there are any more demons from his past that are waiting to railroad me. "What would you like?" "Anything is fine. I can help," I offer, but she shakes her head. "You just relax, as much as you can. You've had a long day, what with everything from Harden and your mum." I roll my eyes. "Yeah, she's difficult." She smiles and opens the refrigerator. "Difficult? I was going to use another word, but she is your mother." "She's sort of a B-word," I say, not wanting to say the real word in front of Trish. "Oh yeah, she's a bitch. I'll say it for you," she laughs, and I join in. Trish cooks chicken tacos for dinner, and we make small talk about Christmas, the weather, and everything else except what is actually on my mind. Harden. Eventually, I feel like it's literally killing me not to call him and tell him to come home now. "Do you think he's stirred long enough?" I say, not admitting that I've been counting the minutes. "No, but it's not my choice," his mother says. "I have to." I leave the kitchen to call Harden. When he answers, the surprise in his voice is evident.
"Tessa?"
"Harden, we still have a lot to discuss, but I would like it if you would come home so we can talk."
"Already? Yeah, of course."
He rushes the words.
"I'll be there shortly."
"Okay," I say, and hang up. I don't have much time to go over everything in my head before he arrives. I need to stand my ground and make sure that he knows what he did is wrong, but that I love him anyway. I pace back and forth across the chilled concrete floor, waiting. After what seems like an hour, the front door opens, and I listen as his boots thud down the small hallway. When he opens the bedroom door, my heart breaks for the 1,000th time. His eyes are swollen and bloodshot. He doesn't say anything. Instead, he walks over and places a small object in my hand. "Paper?" I look up at him as he closes my fist around the folded-up paper.
"Read it before you make up your mind,"
he says softly. Then, with a swift kiss to my temple, he goes into the living room. Chapter 43. Tessa. As I unfold the paper, my eyes widen in surprise. The entirety of the sheet is covered with black scribbles, front and back. It's a letter, a handwritten letter from Harden. I'm almost afraid to read it, but I know that I must.
"Tess, since I'm not good with words when trying to relate my inner life, I may have stolen some from Mr. Darcy, whom you fancy so much. I write without any intention of paining you or humbling myself by dwelling on wishes which, for the happiness of both, cannot be too soon forgotten, and the effort which the formation and the perusal of this letter must occasion should have been spared had not my character required it to be written and read. You must therefore pardon the freedom with which I demand your attention. Your feelings, I know, will bestow it unwillingly, but I demand it of your justice. I know that I've done so many fucked up things to you, and that I in no way deserve you, but I'm asking, no, begging you to please look past the things that I have done. I know I ask too much of you, always, and I'm sorry for that. If I could take it all back, I would. I know you are angry and disappointed by my actions, and that kills me. Instead of making excuses for the way I am, I'm going to tell you about me, the me that you never knew. I'm starting with the shit I remember. I'm sure there is more, but I swear not to purposely hide anything else from you from this day forth. When I was around 9, I stole my neighbor's bike and broke the wheel, then lied about it. That same year, I threw a baseball through the living room window and lied about it. You know about my mother and the soldiers. My father left shortly after, and I was glad when he did. I didn't have many friends because I was an asshole. I picked on kids in my year, a lot. Every day, basically. I was a dick to my mum. That was the last year I told her I love her. The teasing and being a dick to everyone continued until now, so I can't name all the instances, but just know it was a lot. Around 13, me and some friends broke into the drugstore down the road from my house and stole a bunch of random shit. I don't know why we did it, but when we did, one of my friends got caught. I threatened him to make him take the blame for it, and he did. I smoked my first cigarette when I was 13. It tasted like shit, and I coughed for 10 minutes. I never smoked again until I started smoking pot, but I'll get to that. When I was 14, I lost my virginity to my friend Mark's older sister. She was a whore and 17 at the time. It was an awkward experience, but I liked it. She slept with all of our friends, not just me. After I had sex the first time, I didn't do it again until I was 15. But after that, I couldn't stop. I would hook up with random girls at parties. I always lied about my age, and the girls were easy. None of them cared about me, and I didn't give a fuck about them. I started smoking pot this same year, and did it often. I started drinking around this time. Me and my friends would steal liquor from their parents or from anywhere else we could. I started fighting a lot, too. I got my ass beat a few times, but most of the time I won. I was always so fucking angry. Always. And it felt good to hurt someone else. I would pick fights with people all the time for fun. The worst one was with this boy named Tucker who came from a poor family. He wore the oldest, rattiest clothes and I fucking tortured him for it. I would mark on his shirt with a pen just to prove how many times he wore it without washing it. Fucked up, I know. So anyway, one day I saw him walking and I knocked him in the shoulder just to be a dick. He got angry and called me a dick, so I beat the shit out of him. His nose was broken, and his mum couldn't afford to even have him see a doctor. I still kept fucking with him afterward. A few months later, his mum died, and he went into a foster home, a rich one, lucky for him, and he drove by me one day. It was my 16th birthday, and he was in a brand new car. I was angry at the time and wanted to find him just to break his nose again, but now that I think about it, I'm happy for him. I'll skip the rest of my 16th year because all I did was drink, get high, and fight. Actually, that goes for 17, too. I keyed a few cars, busted some windows as well. When I was 18 is when I met James. He was cool because he didn't give a fuck about anything, like me. We drank every day, our group. I would come home drunk every night and would puke on the floor, and my mum would have to clean it up. I would break something new almost every night. We had our little gang of friends, and no one fucked with us. They knew better. The game started, the ones I told you about, and you know what happened with Natalie. That was the worst of that, I swear. I know you are disgusted by me not caring about what happened to her. I don't know why I didn't care, but I didn't. Just now, when I was driving here to this empty hotel room, I was thinking about Natalie. I still don't feel as bad as I should, but I was thinking, what if someone did that to you? I nearly had to pull over to get sick even thinking about you being in Natalie's place. I was wrong, so wrong for doing that to her. One of the other girls, Melissa, got attached to me as well, but nothing came of it.
She was obnoxious and loud. I told everyone that she had hygiene problems down there, so everyone gave her shit about it and she never bothered me again. I got arrested once for being drunk in public, and my mum was so angry she left me at the police station all night. Then, when everyone found out about the Natalie shit, she had enough. I threw a fit when my mum mentioned sending me to America. I didn't want to leave my life back home, no matter how fucked up it was. I was. But when I beat the shit out of someone in front of a crowd during a festival, Mum was done. I applied to WCU and got in, of course. When I got here to America, I fucking hated it. I hated everything. I was so upset that I had to be near my father that I rebelled even further, drinking and partying at the frat house all the time. I met Steph first. I hooked up with her at a party and she introduced me to the rest of her friends. Nate and I hit it off the best. Dan and Jace were dicks. Jace the worst. You already know about Dan's sister, so I'll skip that. There were a few girls that I fucked since then, but not as many as your imagination will have you think. I did sleep with Molly once after you and I kissed, but the only reason I did it was because I couldn't stop thinking about you. I couldn't get you out of my head, Tess. I kept thinking it was you the entire time. I had hoped that would help, but it didn't. I knew it wasn't you. You would have been better. I kept telling myself, if I only see Tessa one more time, I will realize this is just a ridiculous fascination, nothing more. Purely lust. But every time I saw you, I wanted more and more. I would think of ways to annoy you just so I could hear you say my name. I wanted to know what you were thinking of in class that made you stare at your book with a frown. I wanted to smooth the crease between your brows. I wanted to know what you and Landon whispered about. I wanted to know what you were writing in that damned planner of yours. I actually almost took it from you once, that day when you dropped it and I handed it to you. You probably don't remember, but you were wearing a purple shirt and that hideous gray skirt you used to wear almost every other day. After that day in your dorm, when I fucked up your notes and kissed you against the wall, I was in too deep to stay away. I thought about you constantly. My every thought was consumed by you. I didn't know what it was at first. I didn't know why I'd become so obsessed with you. The first time that you stayed the night with me is when I knew that I loved you. I knew that I would do anything for you. I know that sounds like bullshit now after all that I put you through, but it's true. I swear it. I found myself daydreaming. Me daydreaming. About the life that I could have with you. I pictured you sitting on the couch with a pen between your teeth and a novel on your lap, your feet on my lap. I don't know why, but I couldn't get the image out of my head. It tortured me, wanting you the way that I did and knowing you would never feel the same. I threatened anyone who tried to sit in that seat next to you. I threatened Landon to make sure that I could sit there just to be near you. I would tell myself over and over that I was only doing all of this weird shit to win the bet. I knew that I was lying to myself. I just wasn't ready to admit it. I would do shit, like crazy shit, to fuel my obsession with you. I would mark lines in my novels that reminded me of you. Do you want to know the first one? It was. He stepped down, trying not to look long at her as if she were the sun, yet he saw her, like the sun, even without looking. I knew I loved you when I was highlighting fucking Tolstoy. When I told you I loved you in front of everyone, I meant it. I was just too much of a prick to admit it once you dismissed me. The day that you told me you loved me was the first time I felt like there was hope. Hope for me. Hope for us. I don't know why I kept hurting you and treating you the way that I did. I won't waste your time with an excuse because I don't have one. I just have all these bad instincts and habits, and I'm fighting against them for you. All I know is that you make me happy, Tess. You love me when you shouldn't, and I need you. I have always needed you, and always will. When you left me just last week, it nearly killed me. I was so lost, so completely lost without you. I went on a date with someone last week. I wasn't going to tell you, but I can't stand a chance losing you again. I wouldn't even call it a date, really. Nothing happened between us. I almost kissed her, but I stopped myself. I couldn't kiss her. I couldn't kiss anyone but you. She was boring and nothing compared to you. No one is. No one ever will be.
I know it's probably too late for this, especially now that you know all of the fucked up shit I've done. I can only pray that you will love me the same after reading this. If not, that's okay. I will understand. I know you can do better than me. I'm not romantic. I won't ever write you poetry or sing you a song. I'm not even kind. I can't promise that I won't hurt you again, but I can swear that I will love you until the day that I die. I'm a terrible person, and I don't deserve you, but I hope that you will allow me the chance to restore your faith in me. I am sorry for all the pain I have caused you, and I understand if you can't forgive me. Sorry. This letter wasn't supposed to be this long. I guess I fucked up more than I thought. I love you. Always. Harden.